Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Tony, everyone in the studios here bopping their heads to our music. That's as close as we get to music radio. Rich Kasten over here, your host for Buckhead Business Radio, and we have a great new episode here in the studio. Well, I guess it's a good idea that we're live and we have a new episode. We wouldn't want to just have the same conversation we had last week unless it was Groundhog's Day. But kids are getting ready to get back into school, or before you know it, it'll be fall right around the corner. But besides weather and school reports, we're going to be talking business, which is perfect since we're business radio. And I have a panel of experts here joining us in the studio from all different perspectives. But let's just kind of say hi and welcome to our guest, first of all, and we'll jump into some interviews. So first up, joining us in the studio, Whitney. Whitney Lee, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, how was traffic this morning with the buses and the kids and everything? Or
wasn't too bad yet. I'm thinking next week it's really going to kick in.
So this is just the warm up. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, we'll be talking with you here a little bit later in the show. So, what will you be sharing with our listeners and talking about?
Well, I've got a few tips for saving money for getting ready to go back to school.
Okay.
So, yeah, nice. Should be beneficial for everyone getting ready.
Nice. And you're here with what company organization?
Oxygen Financial. Okay. We're in Alpharetta and Buckhead.
Okay, nice. We've had one of the founders in here a couple of times, right?
Yes, Ted. Yeah. We're actually on a few other radio stations around Atlanta now, but he got his start with you here.
Nice. Awesome. There you go. And then and tell our listeners the website or the best way to kind of reach out to y'all's company and services.
You can find us at oxygenfinancial.net.
Okay.
We're also very active on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Okay. A lot of young people there, and it's young people's perspective in many cases, right?
Yeah. We try to focus on the X and Y generation and financial planning for that crowd.
And that there comes the name, right?
Yes.
All right. So welcome to the show. We'll be chatting with you here as well. And also joining us in the studio, George Rathman.
Yeah, say Rich.
You always want to say Rathburn for some reason, because we've had Bob Rathburn in here.
Okay, yes.
So George, and so what will you be chatting about this morning?
Just giving some insights on the benefits of business coaching.
Okay.
I own the Alternative Board, and we bring business owners together, and part of that service is focused on one-on-one executive coaching and seeing how you can tie your personal vision to your company vision and going through the necessary steps to get you to where you want to go.
And we'll be sharing a little bit more details about your bio as well, but how long have you been in this industry?
Just over a year on the coaching side, but have had HR background as well as collegiate coaching experience as well.
Nice. And remind our listeners or let our listeners know best way to find out about your services, your company?
Yeah, it's at tabmetroatlanta.com, or you can also do tabatlantacentral.com.
Cool. We've already Twittered or tweeted or something on Twitter this morning. We were sending out some announcements. And TAB stands for?
The Alternative Board.
Okay.
And so what we do is we bring business owners together from non-competing industries in a group setting, kind of like a board of directors or peer advisory board, where we work on opportunities and challenges and issues in our business.
Cool. All right. So hold tight. We're going to start with our first guest here this morning. Welcome to our other guests here in the studio. And so Linda Godwin, you're here, or Linda Martin, you're the co-founder of Godwin Growth Works and a professional EOS implementer.
Actually,
that's a long title.
Yeah. It's actually Goodwin Growth Works.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm reading it and saying Godwin. Yeah.
I liked that name. It's actually an old family name. Okay. I started my office in the old family home on Peachtree in Brookhaven. And I liked Good Winds.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah.
So.
Okay. And I'll just go ahead and introduce you to our listeners here. You're a business consultant, passionate about helping businesses owners get more profits, time, and freedom in their hard work. Real world guidance comes from your experiences as a business owner, plus your wisdom gained from a diverse background, and we'll be talking about that. It includes corporate marketing, human resources, accounting, 20 years, helped over 100 small businesses. That's a lot in 20 years, yeah. business leadership teams, and uses the entrepreneurial operating system to help your clients offer them simple and practical tools to get control of their company and their lives. So, what were you doing in a former life, or how did you kind of stumble into this, I guess?
You know, when you're working in a small business, My family, my extended family had a lot of small businesses. And I always wondered why Uncle Jack was so happy and Great Aunt Elizabeth was so not happy. They both seemed really successful, but I wanted to know what the difference was. So I went on to college and decided I would go the corporate route. And I learned, oh my gosh, they use like systems and meetings and processes and planning.
Right.
And so then I thought, well, this would really help small businesses, but it's so complicated. So I went and got a master's in human resources development, which is about how to get the best out of people.
Right.
And started applying that to small businesses in the mid 90s.
Okay. You kind of struck a chord. Is that you do it even in the building, and there's people like, they seem to have a lot on their plate, but you wouldn't know it by their kind of carefree, a lot of pep in their step, whatever, right? And then other people just seem to be just overloaded, overwhelmed, right?
Right. It can really, as an entrepreneur, you can feel very, very alone.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we kind of hit on a couple of the points, but what do you feel is the biggest frustration for these type folks? Or,
The EOS Worldwide, which is the system that I use, the entrepreneurial operating system, we actually surveyed several thousand entrepreneurs, and they said 82% of them said our biggest frustration is people. They don't do what we want to do. We can't, what we want them to do. We can't find good people. When we do find somebody we think is going to be a great performer, they don't perform.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation this morning. We just interviewed some new potential interns, and these are folks that are willing to come in and work for free, right, as an unpaid internship, but I just don't feel like it's a good fit, whatever, right? And so you do need that, whether you're intern or hiring or however, what a capacity. What are some criteria that you feel are good traits or attributes for entrepreneurs and themselves as well as working with other people?
Well, there are three things that I really advocate. And I mean, seriously, write these down and apply them tomorrow and your world will get better if you're having trouble with your people.
Okay.
Number
one. I'm ready.
One.
I'm rolling
All
my
right.
sleeves. I got
All right.
my ink pen
I see
here.
That. That's great.
What?
So number one, make sure they share your core values. Now, of course, that means you need to know your core values.
That's what I'm saying. You have to identify those. Yeah. Because you do. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's another thing is that like, a lot of that probably frustration because you're not on the same page.
Right.
And you're like, why isn't this person doing that? Well, you haven't really expressed to them your mission.
Yes. And take the time to dig deep about what those core values are.
Oh, man. Is this going to hurt? Is it going to be painful?
I've done this with a lot of teams and they'll say, but we already did that. We've got our core values. And I'll say, okay, well, let's put them up on the board. But then let's go through my discovery process and let's put those up on the board. And they'll go, oh, those are more real about who we are. So you've got to hire people who fit your core values or you're just going to fight with them all the time.
Right.
And then number two, this is one people hate, have regular meetings.
Oh, I love meetings.
Yeah, you and everybody else right. in the world.
Oh, you picked up the sarcasm there?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Heard it before.
I'm going to get that bumper sticker, love meetings. Okay.
If you do good meetings, productive meetings, and I really teach people how to do that. But the meeting gives you a chance to monitor progress, to give and receive feedback. Haha, got to listen, and to create a dialogue. Because the number three thing, and this could also be considered number one, is to be very clear about setting expectations. We have in our heads what we want. But how we explain it to people is often lacking. If you've ever tried to teach a teenage boy to unload a dishwasher, you probably know what I mean. It seems so obvious. Or teach someone to drive.
Right.
So setting clear expectations, using structured roles, using scorecards, using accurate descriptions, and then you put that into the meetings. And if they have your core values, now you've got all that human energy going in one direction and magic happens.
I think that's another challenge is this idea of expectations of being able to communicate them. you know, you kind of have the sense of where you're going, but sometimes that's a challenge I have. It's kind of communicating, expressing, and being on that, again, on that same page with folks who work here at the studio.
And I find I love working with really talented, bright people, the kind of people that give other people headaches because they're like whirling around so fast.
All right.
And I often find that, you know, I just have to slow them down
right.
and say, now, what is it you want me to do? Well, that's so obvious. No, it's really not.
Right. Now, if we were traditional media, Linda, we would have taken that as a soundbite out of context and a splice and dice it. And Linda would have said, I love working with people that cause other people headaches. Right? But we're not that kind of show. So back to meetings is, I was talking to the sales director recently and their big emphasis is what they call, you know, stand-up meetings or mm-hmm. walking meetings. And so they say, typically when you're in a standing meeting, it ends up only being about 15 minutes, right? And it's much more productive because you have that sense of, you know, if you sit down, people can sit all day, right?
Stand-up meetings are a great way to do like a daily check-in.
Right, right, yeah.
We also advocate a weekly meeting of the leadership team, which always makes everybody groan when we say they fight them and then they start fighting for them.
Yeah.
If you use the proper structure, you want to devote most of your meeting to solving problems because that's why you have all this brain trust around the table.
So on this point of meetings, what are some, you know, structure or some, what are some key points of an effective meeting at, along that line?
Well, the best meeting structure I've ever seen is the one we use at EOS. And we start with a basic reporting function, but nobody's allowed to say anything more than I'm on track or I'm off track.
Oh, that would be a problem for me.
And if they say off track or on track, they can say, I need to talk about something with this. And we have an issues list that we drop down to the second half of the meeting. So by the time you get to the second half of the meeting, you've got all the issues people want to talk about and you can prioritize. Let's pick the top one. The biggest list we've ever had was 75 issues.
Dang.
But you can't get through all those. You know. So you prioritize. You pick number one.
Right.
And then there's a specific process for getting through the issues.
So let's go back to values. That's, you know, culture is a big... It didn't seem like it was as much of an issue in the past, right? Because people just kind of stayed with the same company. But now it's not unusual to hear people say that while money, and speaking of HR, money is certainly an issue, but a lot of people are drawn to the dynamic of a company. And, you know, it feels like you have to have a bigger mission other than how many widgets did we produce this month.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, we've got this multi-generational workforce now. What will draw them together is being inspired by something bigger than themselves.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be social work kind of stuff, but it has to, you know, beat Nike is a famous mission, you know, so for competitive people, that's a culture for competitive people.
So it goes back to identifying your culture and then, hiring those folks that align with that, right? Because not everybody functions well in a competitive environment, like you explained.
Yeah, don't try to be all things to all people.
We know that that gets you, right? That gets you back to where you're overwhelmed. Yeah, speaking of, we began the interview with this thought of, I feel this sometimes, you're just like, you're just pulled in so many different directions, and there's so many great projects that I have, you know, that I work on. But I guess it comes back to focus, but it's also, I mean, how would you advise someone that is spinning so many plates and they feel overwhelmed?
I wish there was a magic wand for that.
Right. There's not an app for it, maybe?
Yeah. There are a lot of apps for it. I'm not sure work.
Well, that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's just, we're just overstimulated.
So I start by thinking about it as managing energy rather than time.
Okay.
That opens things up. And then having an interlocking system, and this is what I love about EOS, is it's an interlocking system that addresses that overwhelm from a number of different perspectives. So everything from knowing what your core values are, so you're not wasting time chasing somebody that is brilliant but doesn't fit your culture,
right,
to having everything on the issues list, including opportunities, things I'd like to do someday. And then you pick the top three priorities. Don't try to prioritize the whole list. That's a waste of time.
Right. Yeah.
Pick the top three, go through those, then go on to the next three. And as you pull one out, some of that overwhelm begins to simmer down.
Right. Do you get into advising people on some of that minutia of like when to handle their emails and when you talk about prioritize, what boxes to put these categories in? I mean,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have three meetings in 3 months all day where we're really working on getting the system in place. But then every quarter when we're meeting, we're spending half the day solving issues. There's definitely some of that time management, energy management teaching that goes on. But then every quarter, if somebody wants to do a deeper dive into that, we'll put it on the issues list and we'll just spend an hour on it.
Right. You've mentioned this entrepreneur operating system. What are some key components?
Well, there are six key components that we say if you strengthen those, your business will get out of overwhelm. The 137 things that are coming at you every minute will begin to calm down.
Yeah, my goal is to be one day be underwhelmed.
Exactly. That's a great goal. Right. That is a great goal, Rich. Right. Yes.
All right. So, so you have a diverse background, like we mentioned. Who are some of your, clients that you work with?
I work with, I don't like to name the clients because it's okay. A little bit like counseling,
Right.
but I've worked with architects, builders, lawyers. I have a client that designs hospitals. I'm trying to remember. I have a client that does financial planning. Their firm does financial planning. So mostly business to business professionals.
Okay.
And then I seem to have a yen for the building trades, maybe because I have people in my family that do that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's like there's so many things that go on, but, people that design hospitals, you wouldn't think of that as like, you don't meet those at networking events. So what do you do for a living? Yeah. Design hospitals. Somebody's got to do it, right?
It's an intensely technical.
Yeah. Oh.
From the kind of floor covering to, it's intensely technical. It's got to be beautiful and healing and infection resistant.
Yeah. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I won't go there. Yeah. All right. So lots to talk about here. You're listening to Buckhead Business Radio. We're talking to Linda Martin. She's a co-founder of Goodwin Growth. All right. And so tell our listeners the best way to reach out and get in touch with you.
Go to goodwingrowth.com. And if you do a / and checkup, you can take a brief survey that will give you feedback on how well your business is running and where your strengths and weaknesses are.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show. Stick around. We'll have some additional follow-up questions for you as well. And joining us back in the studio, you never actually left the studio. George has been hanging out here. So you're the owner and CEO of TAB, as we mentioned, Atlanta Central. And TAB is the alternative board. 20 years of business experience in retail operations, consumer goods finance, Division I college athletics. You're also an ICF certified professional coach who partners with business leaders to realize their full potential while finding time, money, and freedom. So some great, interesting conversation here amongst y'all. Now, you specialize, as you mentioned, in HR, talent management operations, held various senior HR leadership positions. Most recently, this is interesting, the international eyewear brand Luxottica?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
All right. And technology companies. And while you were there, you led a team in training solutions, leadership facilitation, touched over 20,000 associates, delivered sales results. So let's just kind of jump into the interview, if you don't mind. Well, actually, talk to us about, it mentions here in the Atlanta Beltline. What's your connection there?
Well, I actually live off the Atlanta Beltline, and so I've been involved in volunteer efforts to continue to clean up around the Beltline. I think being involved with your community is very, very important. I'm also involved with another organization, ACSS, which is the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency.
Okay.
So working for people or with people to find opportunities for those who have moved out of homelessness.
Oh, wow. Very inspiring. And so let's kind of jump into, tell us about the Alternative Board. What's the backstory of that organization?
The Alternative Board has been in existence for now 25 years.
Wow.
It's an international organization, so presence globally and worldwide. Here in Atlanta, we have four alternative boards under TAB Atlanta Metro. And what we do is we bring business owners together from non-competing businesses in a group setting. So a peer advisory board, board of directors, where we work on opportunities, issues, and challenges in our business. And a part of that, in between each of those monthly sessions, we each meet with our individual business clients to provide coaching sessions.
Okay. Yeah, we mentioned before we went on the air that we had connected and then met, I think someone had introduced us, but then we met at the our corporate mixer. And you were sharing this this concept of kind of an executive board getting together, because a lot of times, I think Linda would probably agree with this, is that a lot of times as entrepreneurs or business owners, you're kind of in this bubble, right?
Yes.
And you can't really have some of these conversations with the folks that you work with.
That's exactly right. And that's what the beauty of what the Alternative Board does, is to really bring that business owner out of their business to work on their business with other business owners. So if there is an issue that's going on in their business that they can't talk to other employees or other leaders
right.
on their team, you know, you have that, you're sitting around a table with maybe six, seven other business owners.
Right.
You can tap into that wealth of 175, 200 years of experience to get some insights so that you can make a decision to move your business forward faster.
And from different business sectors, right? Because a lot of times you are kind of, you're making your widget over here. You have somebody in the financial arena or somebody designing hospitals, and you probably have a number of aha moments or epiphanies. It's like, you wouldn't think that what I'm doing over here applies to this person's profession, but I mean, probably have lots of those type of conversations, right?
Well, yes. And every business owner thinks that their business is unique.
Right, right.
And it is in some way.
Yeah.
But in the end, about 80% of what goes on in one business goes on in another business, whether it's around people, cash flow, marketing, growth, exiting your business.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, we do a legal show that we had this morning at 8 o'clock, Atlanta Legal Experts. And one of the attorneys was talking about, they have a huge case there that's going to go to court right now, where they had three business partners all on a handshake and they had no exit strategy. And so now they're ready to part ways. It's very complicated, and it's going to cost everybody a lot of headaches and a lot of money. But so speaking of people, talk to us about consulting, and Linda probably has experience as well, but consulting versus therapy. I mean, is there?
There's definitely a difference. You know, on the consulting side, you're in there to fix a problem. You're looked at as the subject matter expert who
right.
goes and asks a lot of questions, and you come up with a solution within the business. On the therapy side, you know, more working with past situations to kind of get you to operate in the present.
Right.
You know, and the thing with coaching is you know, we're a guide. We partner with our client. We remain objective, and we go towards the client agenda so that the client is achieving what they want to achieve, whether it be personally or within their business.
Yeah. So what happens in the boardroom goes on business radio or in the social media? No, it stays in the boardroom.
It stays in the boardroom. Yes, it's all confidential. Yes.
Okay. So so accountability, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but that's probably huge in, because again, this kind of bubble mindset, you know, we're here in the studio and I spent a lot of hours on what goes on with the station, but you know, there's not always somebody to, if I have these tasks and these goals and these projects I'm working on, nobody's kind of looking over my shoulder. So do you coach or work with people in terms of accountability?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, at the end of every coaching session, there's some action item that we're walking away with. And that's my responsibility as that coach to that client to check in on what progress has been made to what you said you were going to do. And within the Alternative Board, you do make a commitment as a business owner. When you get feedback or insights, you make a commitment to the rest of those other business
Oh, really?
Owners, your board, that this is what you're going to do. And then I check in during that one, that monthly session. Okay, what progress are you making towards that commitment? If you're not making the progress, well, what's getting in the way? What may have changed? But how can we continue to move you forward?
Talk to us about the kind of the mechanics of this board concept. I'm kind of intrigued by it. So is it what's the structure as far as number of people, number of meetings? And again, this kind of accountability, what's the objective of those meetings or gatherings?
Okay. A board usually consists of about 8 to 10 business owners. We meet once a month for about 4 hours.
Wow.
Yes.
All at one time?
All at one time, yes.
I guess there's a meal included, I hope. Yeah.
There could be, yes, most definitely. And what we do is before each board meeting, I meet with the business owner, and we identify what's going on in your business that you want insight from the board. And so when you come to that board meeting, that's the topic, the issue, the challenge, the opportunity that you're putting out there. And then you'll get feedback from those other board members, and based off of the different insights that they have, you'll then make a decision of what you're going to do in your business based off of that situation.
Okay. Give us some ideas of some of these board members or types of businesses. You don't have to give out their social security or number or anything, but what types of, are there certain business sectors and it's a 2 or 3 part question here. So, and is there like a sweet spot as far as range of volume or employees or, types of organizations?
I would say industry-wide, very open. We do professional practice, attorneys, CPAs, anything in the telecom business, printing, engineering, contracting, anything in those areas. Usually the sweet spot is at least 5 employees.
Okay.
Because people situations start to develop then that you would like to have some feedback on. With the alternative board, what is important is that the business owners who are sitting around the table are the ultimate decision makers.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to say that you're going to do something to a bunch of other business owners, you have to be the one to have the authority to make that decision or move forward on that action item.
Yeah. So you're not sending someone there representing you. Yeah.
No.
Kind of defeat the purpose. So talk to us. So there's a note here about energy leadership.
Yeah. Well, so part of my certification of becoming a professional coach centered around energy leadership. And what that focuses on is really, what is your attitude in daily life? And how are you having awareness and consciousness around decisions that you want to make? So that you're really being at the choice of your life versus maybe in some cases the consequences of your life.
I like that, choice versus consequences. Yeah.
Yes.
Awareness. I had to write that one down, underline that. Yeah. We talked about consulting and therapy. What about business coaching versus life coaching?
There's a little bit of a difference based off of the focus of that client. But in the end, you know, in this day and age, as it always has been, life and business overlap.
Yep.
And they're going to come into play. And really the skill set of a coach is to really ask those open-ended questions to your client to have and really bring out the answers that are inside of them. And where you go a little bit more with life coaching than business coaching is the why. And to what Linda mentioned, that's really where when you start doing a value assessment of what are your core values? I mean, what are those top 3 to 5 values that you want to live by? And understanding, are you choosing them or are they being forced upon you? And when you start to have that discovery, it goes to a lot about what you're doing from a why standpoint. And for a business owner, it gives you clarity on what your personal vision is. And then how do you also, when you develop your company vision, are they aligned? At the alternative board, we like to look at it as a bicycle. Your personal vision is the front tire. Your company vision is the back tire. As a business owner, you're riding the bike. And that company vision, that back tire, has to power you to get forward on your personal vision. Otherwise, you have to ask yourself, why am I doing this?
And in some cases, you need training wheels, right?
Yeah. That's where you come in. You may, yes. Yeah, you most definitely may.
That's where you all come in. So it is interesting because we'll ask you, I'll let you in a little bit of secret. As the show wraps up, we'll ask you guys, outside of business, when you're not wearing your business hat, what do you do kind of let some steam off, or what's your passion or a mentor or a book you've read, or who inspires you? Where do you go to get inspired? But a lot of times we ask that and to entrepreneurs, because we're always talking to business folks, whatever, capacity, whether it's franchise owners or sales folks, or they're in the food and beverage industry, for example, or a new international business rate. But they're all business folks. And like in this morning, like typically we'll ask the attorneys what they do, and you get this either crickets, blank stares, right? What do you mean? What do I do when I'm not working? But it is this kind of entrepreneur mindset that we're just, there is not much overlap. It's, and we'll ask them, and half the time they'll say, what do I do when I'm not working? I go to my organization and I find out what I can fix. I go, no, I was talking about when you're off the clock, right? I mean, that's, but when you're talking about life coaching, that's where it kind of comes into play is, would you agree that it's that, what's happening in their business creates this ripple effect over to their family and relationships?
Most definitely. I mean, for example, if part of your personal vision is to go on vacation 4 weeks a year, and you're only going on vacation 1 week a year, what is getting in the way for wanting you to do those 4 weeks? There's probably something in your business that's not allowing you, or where you've put a block in for you to do what you want to do.
And especially if you've shared that life vision with your other significant others and family,
yes.
And you've made this statement, either subtle or very overtly that we're doing a 4 week vacation and it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. That creates some of this, right?
Yes, most definitely.
With your radio, I'm putting my fist together. Yeah.
And what does it look like to go on vacation?
Oh,
you know, truly defining what does that look like? Does that mean that I'm not going to be attached to my smartphone, my tablet, whatever it may be, where I'm really going to be present and enjoying the vacation? Because that's what it's for.
That's key. I mean, I remember years ago, I had had contracted a virtual assistant in another business that I operated. And it was a classic, it still sticks in my mind to this day, that she had called me from a pay phone or the hotel phone or whatever when she was out of state. And I was apologizing she couldn't get cell phone reception. I said, Leanne, this is your vacation. You're off the clock, you know. But it's this day and age, it's hard to be not tethered to these devices. But whenever possible, I'm all about going off the grid.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and with one client that I was working with recently, who actually used to check his email probably every time that it came in, was on vacation just this past July and made the decision on Tuesday morning to leave the phone up in the condo while he went to the beach with his family and shut down the laptop and did not open it again until Friday late afternoon just to see what messages. So again, having the awareness and truly making a conscious choice.
You know, Gmail has this amazing setting that's called Vacation Autoresponder, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, and it clearly says, I'll be gone. I'll be, you know, don't panic. I'll be back on this day. Especially if you can then delegate to say, if it's, you know, true emergency, you know, contact this person, right? Mm-hmm. But, all right. So, George, some great insight here. And I really was intrigued by our earlier conversation about this, this idea of this board. One last kind of question along that line. I'm still trying to wrap my head. I don't know if there's any absolute clarity here towards those that would engage in that scenario. Are they at a point where they don't have, you know, they're not running a billion-dollar company? Because in that case, they have all these advisors. They have their internal boards and all that. Is there kind of a benchmark there that...
Yeah, if you don't have a board of directors within your organization, this would be your board of directors.
Okay.
You know, and some things, you know, if you're a business owner and you feel like you have a job, well, being part of the alternative board may get you to get out of your business so you don't feel like you have a job and you're back to running your business.
Right.
Is it kind of an example that I would give?
Sure. All right. So let our folks know, how would they get in touch with you and find out about all your good work you're doing over there?
The best way to get in touch is to go to our website, which is metroatlanta.com. Or my individual one, which is tab@atlantacentral.com.
All right. So great having you here. Stick around. We'll have
Thank
some
you, Rich.
Follow-up conversation as well. And sitting patiently in our studio, returning to the show, Whitney Lee. Enjoying the conversation so far?
Yeah. Great advice here. Actually matches up with my business a little bit. With financial planning, we're constantly meeting business owners, like you've mentioned. People who just can't, they don't have the time to manage their finances. So people usually come to us more because it's a capacity issue rather than competency. They're just like, I'm so busy in my business. Everything else the family's got going on. So help me get my money organized. So I really understand a lot of what they're saying.
Yeah, I think amongst our guests, there's that theme of dealing with the person. And if you can help them with their business challenges, what's going on in their life. But money, unquestionably, is a big component of all of this, right?
Right, right.
So let's just formally introduce Whitney Lee. She's you're a very proud native of Georgia and the Atlanta area. You graduated from Georgia State University's Robinson College of Business, where you received her bachelor's degree in finance with a concentration in investments before beginning your career now at Oxygen Financial. So so you went right from the books right into the banks?
I was very lucky in that sense. I've wanted to be in financial planning since I was a kid. That sounds
really,
like
it does,
the
yeah.
dorkiest thing to say. But
as a small child.
Yeah. I paid a lot of attention to what my mom was doing with our family finances. I went with her to our financial advisors' meetings, and
wow.
I just thought it was really cool what he was doing. He seemed really passionate about helping people meet their goals. I thought he was a really smart guy, and I was like, I want to do that myself. So I went to school and knew I wanted to find a place like Oxygen to work at, and I just am so blessed to kind of fall into a place like that. Very lucky.
Yeah, and speaking of that, how did you come across Oxygen?
Funny, I mentioned earlier, Ted and Kyle are on the radio, and when I was commuting on that long drive to Georgia State in terrible traffic, I would listen to them in the mornings.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, these guys are kind of cool. That sounds like something I want to do. And then I joined a program at Georgia State and needed an internship.
Okay.
So I started looking around, and it was funny, that very day that I started looking, Oxygen had actually posted the need for an intern online.
Oh, wow.
So it was almost like it was meant to be. So I got to meet the guys from the radio, and then they hired me.
Because that's at Rock 100, right?
Yeah, Rock 100 and 680 The Fan.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because we had an intern over here that used to intern as well at Rock mm-hmm. 100. So, okay, so a lot of people obviously in your space, in that industry, right? I mean, it's hard not to go to an event or a networking function or be online and not come across someone in that profession. So we often ask people in that type of industry, what's your, what we call, unique selling proposition? What makes y'all kind of different or unique?
Yeah, you're right. When I go to networking events, I'm one of 50 financial right. advisors, it seems like. So I'm always really excited to tell people how we're different.
Okay.
We kind of take the approach at being kind of just on your side of the table. We don't have any proprietary product. We are able to shop the entire market to find what's best for our clients. So then, and the name Oxygen, we originally mainly our focus was X and Y generation.
Okay.
But everyone has just fell in love with our model, that we are here for your bottom line. We do what's best for the client. We take kind of a high tech approach. That makes us a little bit different. And we've also killed off the term financial advisor.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Should we have some music here or some play taps? George, can you play some taps here for us? Or a violin or something? Yeah. If only we had sound effects here, but yeah.
Well, we noticed that people, the consumer has no idea what a financial advisor is. If you went out here across the street to Lenox and you asked five people, what is a financial advisor? You're going to get five different definitions. Is it your bank teller, your insurance agent, the guy who does your taxes? Who is that?
Your Uncle Larry.
Right, exactly. Right. So we were like, how can we make this different for people? So we created the term private CFO.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Private CFO.
Well, and that comes
so,
from...
So yeah, what does that entail? Or
We want you to think about your family finances like a business. So you are the CEO of that business. You've got a vision, you've got goals, you know where you want to be. But what does every good CEO need at a business? A CFO to tell them how to get where they want to be. What's the financial strategy to get there? So there's three major parts to that. We act like a controller in your business. So we look at your net worth, take a look at your balance sheet, your cash flow, just kind of act as half financial planner, half consumer advocate for you. And we also take on a role as a treasurer. So this is where we take a look at your risk management. Do you have appropriate insurance? Are you taking on too much risk in your portfolio? How do you manage your 401k? Because I know a lot of people get their 401k options and they're like, I'll choose this, this, and this. That looks good for me.
Right.
So What's the best way to manage that? And then finally, we take all of this together and all of your goals, and we create a strategy for you. So this is where we kind of, you can think about us as like a GPS system. So you know where you want to be. We map out a way for you to get there. And if you get off track, we help you get back rerouted, so to speak. We are, like I said, like a consumer advocate. We know scams out there you need to watch out for. We try to give you some good money saving tips and just help manage your expenses.
Well, and they so after they've met with George and Linda and have all their personal alignment in place or whatever, right? Then they come to you for the I like that private CFO. Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of throw that around just to impress people. Oh yeah, so you may have a financial planner, but I have a private CFO.
Exactly.
Just let you know, I'm just bragging. I'm just dropping names and titles here. Yeah. And okay, so Whitney, so at the beginning we were talking about, you know, school right around the corner, and so talk to us about, you know, tips, I guess, for saving money for those
sure.
folks. Or
yeah, it's hard to believe kids are already headed back to school.
Right?
I don't know where the summer has gone or even the year. And parents, I know, get a little bit stressed out. You know, you've got to go get back in your routine. But also these things these kids need cost, they add up. So what's the best way to save some money? So one of the things that I like to tell people to do is shop at home first. So look around the house. Think about what you, maybe you found something on sale last year, ended up not needing it. Maybe you bought some pens, pencils, paper in bulk. So a lot of times you can cross off a few things on your list while you're still at home before you even go out. So take a look there. Another good tip is to wait to buy things like clothes and electronics. It may, you know, maybe your computer bit the dust, but if you can get by for the next couple of weeks, you'll see a lot of things go on sale here right after school starts. Maybe the kids need some new clothes, but if you can manage, you know, get through for a little bit of time, you'll see big sales. And another thing is to stick to your list. So I know I'm really bad about this. When you Target is like another dimension of shopping opportunities. So you get in there and you suddenly get distracted over all these cool things they have out. So make a list, stick to it, avoid the temptation to wander around, and don't let the kids out, you know, running up and down the aisles trying to find things, because they'll tempt you into buying things. So another big thing is to use technology. So there's a lot of really great apps out there. One's called Ibotta. It's one of those reward apps where you simply just take a picture of your receipt and they actually give you cash back for what you bought.
Really?
So you take a look at that before you go out, you choose some things you're planning on buying, and then you just give them your receipt and they send you money back for that. Another good thing is CVS. If you have some few things to get there, they're actually doing a promotion where if you download their app, they'll give you $3 cash back just for being a first-time user of their app. And also another opportunity is buying gift cards online. So a lot of people, you know, they get a lot of gift cards maybe from their aunt who doesn't
right.
know what to buy them
right.
and they don't want it. So they'll sell it online for a few dollars less than the actual value. So you may be able to get to, you know, a $25 gift card for $20 or $15 online and save some money that way. So also another good thing is take advantage of price matching. Companies like Staples specifically is offering 110% price match guarantee. So they'll match the price of another store and give you 10% back on top.
To me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I'm always amazed how it's back to school. And the big thing they always push every year is the big sale where it's tax-free. You don't
yes.
have to pay any taxes. To me, I don't know. Seems like a big misnomer because it's only, what, 7% off or whatever, right? But people just, they'll line around the block, right? And there's a big hype. It's as big as, you know, Black Friday or whatever, mm-hmm. right, for back to school. But it's all like tax-free. For this weekend, you don't have to pay any of the sales tax, right? But it's like, it's chump change. It's pennies compared to like any other day of the week. There's 20% off this item.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yes, yes or yes?
Well,
I mean, right. What's the big deal about it? What it depends on what county you're in, but it's maybe 7%, 6% off.
Well, I think that money adds up.
Oh no, there's no question. There's no doubt you wouldn't pay. Why pay full when you get 6% off? But across the aisle, there's an item over here that's 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, or next week or the week before,
exactly.
This item was 30% off. But they don't. You know, nobody. There's no attention to that. But get in line and get there early and camp out because you're going to save 7% or 6%. Everything else is normally 30% off the rest of the year. Yes or yes?
It's a great point. Yeah, it's something you have to pay attention to and you know, shop around for because you're right. That's one of those tricks for sales.
It is because you never see a big hoopla.
Right.
You know, no one would jump out, you know, and get in their car and drive for 5% off.
Right.
Right. There's no such sale as 5% off. Right.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
And you do bring up a good point that they do trick you kind of in that way. And like I mentioned just a minute ago, that a few weeks from now, you'll be amazed at what's on sale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, some good points there. And, so, you know, we've talked about obviously, you know, business here. You've talked about the, folks going back to school. I don't know if this is a fair question, either folks that you deal with or within the organization. Any idea like how many of those people are business owners as opposed to employees, or do you guys, you don't necessarily, you know, specialize in one or the other, right? Or
we have clients all across the board. So I have, single folks, maybe you just got out of school and they're like, how do I manage this student loan debt?
Right.
And then I have folks getting close to retirement. And then we do specialize on small and medium-sized business owners and helping them manage their personal finances as well as the business. One of the big things that sets us apart is that we are able to create benefits packages for your company. So if you'd like to offer your employees a 401k, health insurance, of course, a big thing right now. And also, one of the things business owners struggle with is trying to save for retirement. So they don't have the same opportunity. Like someone's not matching a 401k contribution for them.
Right.
They don't have a pension. So not many people do now. So how do we recreate that for them? How do we find opportunities for them to help manage their tax liability and save money for the future?
I think at the top, you kind of mentioned it's kind of a unique position where you're kind of like the insurance where you're either a captured agent or a not a free agent,
right?
But basically, you offer those portfolio of companies that you can.
Independent.
Yeah, we're independent.
It's great to be able to shop the market for looking at insurance or investments. I can just see everything that's out there and know what's best for you as a client. There's no cookie cutter approach.
Okay, so tell our listeners once again how they find out about y'all.
Yeah, you can find us at oxygenfinancial.net. You can also sign up for a complimentary consultation with me. If you'd like to come in and just sit down and have a conversation about what your finances look like and see if there's a way we can help you, I'd love to sit down with you. And we can also be found on Facebook and Twitter.
Nice. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
We'll kind of just go around the table here in the time remaining and kind of talk about that question. Before we do, I thought it was interesting. We were talking before the show that we met at a networking event in Sandy Springs, right? And then the rest of the folks we met at the Atlanta Over 40 event, right?
At the Buckhead Club.
The Buckhead Club.
Yeah.
And someone was with you there at that event, working with you in the company there as well, or no? Okay, but she seemed, I guess you guys were just wandering around together. I forget what her name was, but she was pretty lively. No recollection. Maybe it was just the alcohol. Yeah.
And no, there were a lot of people there that
That's a good
I knew.
Event. Okay. Yeah. And then George, we were at the, like I said, at our corporate mixer.
Yes.
And by the way, for our listeners, as well as our guests, you're all invited. Once a quarter, we get all of our folks together from our studios and invite you out to our mixer. So let's go around the table real quick. Whoever wants to jump in first, maybe, let us know, share something besides business that, you know, inspires you, or where do you go to get inspired, or maybe a book you've read, or a nonprofit group, or any of the above, or none of the above, yeah. Linda, let's start off.
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about what do we do to unwind, and I just need to get outside. Whether I'm walking, or helping clean up one of the neighborhood parks, or gardening, I have a lot of wildflowers, and I've got some cucumbers coming on in my garden.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there any fruits for your labor?
Yeah, I had some blueberries in July. So anything that involves getting outside really helps me unwind.
It does. It really kind of clears you, your head as well, right?
Yes.
Well, unless it's during pollen season, then it kind of does the reverse.
Well, right. Managing that. It's a little challenging in the Atlanta area, but I live actually across from a park, and that was really important to me in selecting my house.
Yeah. And that goes back to kind of not necessarily the culture, but everybody's kind of different. So, you know, if you're a realtor, you need to kind of dial into that, right? What's important to that person.
Yeah.
All right. And George?
So I guess how I relax is I work out on a regular basis. Okay. I grew up as a competitive swimmer. And so having coached competitive swimming for 25 years, 10 years of that in Division I athletics, I've always been around it. So it gives me the opportunity to just kind of think about the day, think about what's going on, and just get away from it.
Right.
And then I would say the second thing is I tap into my spiritual side. I'm a firm believer in that. I have started practicing meditation, which has been a great different experience for me, but it's a continual journey.
Yeah, swimming, that's, you know, especially as you get, older in life, people can't run like they used to and that kind of thing. But, swimming, I mean, that's something I should probably incorporate more is, swimming. What about the Beltline? Is that, people run around there as well, right? Do you do any, running or walking out that way or?
Yeah, I utilize the Beltline usually once or twice a week. I live right off of it. So. Yeah. You know, I'm 10 minutes from Piedmont Park, another 5 to 10 minutes from the Krog Street Market. So I'm kind of in the center. And then as they continue to expand, there'll be more opportunity as well.
Yeah, they're talking about expanding it all the way up here and beyond, whatever, right?
We're going to have it in Brookhaven and in Chamblee.
Dang. I think it'll eventually connect with the Appalachian Trail, whatever, take it up to Maine or whatever. Yeah. All right. Whitney?
I'm kind of with Linda on being outside. I love to get outside and just explore, get some fresh air. I have a Jeep that I'm obsessed with, so we take that off-roading. I love to go camping and find some trails, get off the beaten path there. I don't look like that kind of girl, but I love to go out and do things like that. I'm also a big lake junkie, so spend a lot of time out on the lake. Pretending like I'm a pirate. That's what I like to do.
So, pirates, we had a group in here called Startup Pirates.
I met them actually at another networking event. That's a great company. They have a really, really cool, innovative idea there.
Yeah, they're launching, I think, this week. It's a week-long event starting on the 8th, I think it is, through the 15th here in Atlanta. It originated in Portugal. And first time bringing it to the U.S. They were here in the studio talking about it. It's pretty intriguing. So, all right. So, I don't know if there's any other closing thoughts or words of wisdom. Or
I do want to chime in with George and say that meditating or spending some time in spiritual practice is so important. When clients adopt that, it really helps them deal with the overwhelm. And for myself, I don't know how people live without it in this stressed out, crazy place that we sometimes live in.
Can you multitask or be productive when you're meditating?
Better not. No.
I don't know. I probably should adopt it as well, but I feel like I'm unproductive. I'm just sitting there, you know, but you do need that quiet time to kind of, what do they call that? Not just regroup, but,
focus, maybe.
Thank you. But no,
feed your productivity. It feeds your productivity. That's what you have to say to yourself. It feeds your productivity. Like you wouldn't not sleep.
Right.
Or not eat, because eventually that's going to hurt your productivity.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop lecturing now.
Exactly. <yeah.
laughs> Couldn't help myself.
No, good stuff. So, all right. You also, thanks for being here in the studio. Just want to say to our listeners, you're tuning in and I've been listening to Buckhead Business Radio X, and just mentioned a couple of other shows and what's upcoming here. We have Sales Influencer Radio. If you're in the sales market, love to have that conversation with you. Georgia Business Radio is Friday afternoons. And Food and Beverage Radio. If you're in the food and beverage industry, love to have you all come in and have a conversation as well. So we'll see you next time, next week, Tuesdays at 10. Rich Casanova here, host of Buckhead Business Radio. See you next time.